Have you ever had one of those days you wish you could live all over again?
It's called every day. Okay. Every day.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson. It's reality.
Cleanup continues to
982.
And welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 320, The Longest Day, which originally aired on May 3rd, 2000.
May 3rd.
The day after my 15th birthday.
Oh my God, what a gift. 24 years ago.
I know. And my angst was angsting, and this was like exactly what I needed.
Wow. What a way to celebrate.
I know.
What are we drinking for this episode?
We're drinking The Longest Day. It is gin, Campari, lemon juice, simple syrup, egg white. It's topped with soda water, some orange slices. It's good. It's bitter. You know, the bitter drinks aren't my favorite, but for what it is, I think it's pretty good.
I can't believe there's a drink called The Longest Day.
You would be shocked. Every time I just Google the episode title and things pop up.
That's nuts. Like, who would think to name a drink that?
The Lord is on our side.
Like, even if you were going to say, like, I want to have a drink after a long day, you think you'd just call it The Long Day or A Long Day. The Longest Day.
Well, there was also a lot of reference to the summer solstice. So I think it's like about that. Like, it's like a drink you drink on the literal longest day.
Wow.
How about that?
Do people celebrate the summer solstice like that? Wow.
Some people do. They put eggs on their edge. You ever see that?
On their like porch?
No, like on the longest day of the year, you can hold it and it'll like stay like this, like long ways up. It won't roll over.
Oh, no. The whole day?
I don't know. Don't Google it. Oh. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm going to dive right into this recap now. This is a very complicated episode, so bear with me. So episode 320, The Longest Day, opens with a voiceover line from Joey asking, did you ever have one of those days you wish you could live all over again? And then we see Dawson and Mitch, and they meet up with the rest of the group to christen Pacey's boat, True Love, and everyone's there except for Pacey and Joey. They're inside the boathouse, kissing and making out and talking about how they've been sneaking behind everyone's backs for weeks and how they need to tell Dawson. They both recall how over the last few weeks they've each tried to tell him dozens of times, but it's so hard. Joey doesn't know how she can tell Dawson that she feels this gravitational pull towards his best friend and wants to kiss him all the time. So Pacey decides that he will take this on. He'll be the one to tell Dawson. He just needs today to do it. So this episode is a little different than most because we follow every character throughout the day, seeing it from each of their viewpoints and through each of their eyes. So first up, we have Pacey. So Pacey, right after the christening of the boat, asks Doug to watch Buzz for him so he could do something really important today, and it cannot wait. We, of course, know that this is tell Dawson the truth. Jen finds Pacey waiting outside the Leary's house and encourages him to just be honest with Dawson. Tell him that the girl that you can't live without, Pacey finishes the sentiment, is the same girl that Dawson can't live without. Jen lets Pacey know that she talked to Joey this morning and she knows Joey feels the exact same way that Pacey does. Mitch comes outside and lets Pacey know that Dawson isn't home. He's at the library. So Pacey heads there and he can't find Dawson, but he does run into Andy and his friend Will Krutsky. Back at home, Doug tells Pacey that kissing Joey in a moment of weakness is one thing, but sneaking around behind Dawson's back is quite another. He warns Pacey to be careful because at the end of all this, Dawson and Joey will probably be together and stay best friends, and where will that leave Pacey? By nighttime, Pacey makes it to Dawson's house and he's ready to tell him everything, but Joey stops him. She says she needs to be the one to tell him, and she just came from Dawson's room, and she's super upset. Pacey's fine with that, but he begins to realize that Joey's getting cold feet, and she might not have any intention of telling Dawson the truth. It leads to a little spat between them in front of the house, and Dawson ends up coming outside and asking him what they're arguing about. Pacey says, us. We're arguing about us. Joey and I are an us now. So then the day rewinds to the opening scene of the boat christening, and we now see the day through Joey's point of view. We see the conversation between Jen and Joey that Jen referenced to Pacey during his day. Joey confides that she wants to be with Pacey, but she's worried about Dawson. She's worried about being cast as the villain in all of this, the girl coming between two best friends. The girl's always seen that way. So Jen just encourages Joey to follow her heart and be honest. Joey swears to Jen that Pacey is going to tell Dawson. To today. He's on his way there now. So Joey then goes to the library to work on her project, and that's when she sees Pacey and Andy talking. And when Joey and Andy are alone, Andy tells Joey that she and Will are getting to know each other, but it's hard because while Will is great, he's just not Pacey. She thought she was over Pacey, but sometimes the floodgates just open and all the feelings come back. So then Joey bumps into Dawson and she's super awkward around him. He invites her to a movie night tonight, but she lies and gets out of it. She then calls Pacey at Doug's and she leaves a message about how she wants to be the one to tell Dawson, but no one answers. So she goes to Dawson's room and she makes an attempt to tell him, but it turns out that he's watching The Last Picture Show, which is the movie that Joey and Dawson saw on their first date. Since they never finished the movie on that date, she asks Dawson how it ends, and he says, well, it's about a love triangle between three friends and how they all end up miserable and alone because of the betrayal. So Joey ends up backing out of the confession, and she climbs down the ladder where she spots Pacey about to go in and stops him, just like we saw from the scene in Pacey's day. Dawson hears them arguing from his window, and he goes down to ask him what they're arguing about. Pacey says, us. We're arguing about us. Joey and I are in us now. So the scene continues a little bit longer than it did during Pacey's day, and we see that Dawson is not shocked. And Joey asks, you know, don't you? And he says, yes, I know. So then the day resets and we go back to the boat christening scene. And this time we're going to see the day through Dawson's vantage point. At the library, he and Will bump into each other and he lets Will know that he can borrow his boat to take Andy out on a date tonight and to stop by any time for it. Dawson heads over to Jen's and she very sympathetically says that she's been expecting him and she's there for him if he needs to talk. He's a little confused. And Jen says, you know, if Dawson just wants to hang out with her and Henry today, then he totally can. Even though today feels hard, it's better in the long run that Pacey was honest and told him the truth. Dawson is baffled. Told him what? Jen realizes that Dawson has no idea and she just spilled the truth to him. He presses her and she doesn't say anything, but then he correctly guesses that it must be about Joey. And Jen's face says it all. Dawson knows now that there's something romantic going on between Pacey and Joey. Jen apologizes. It wasn't her place to say anything to him. Dawson storms off and asks Jen not to tell Pacey or Joey that he knows the truth. So we then see the scene of Joey showing up to tell Dawson, but with this new insight, we see him tell Joey about the movie plot, about how the love triangle destroys all their friendships, totally guilting her and manipulating her before asking her what she was there to talk about. As we know, she says nothing and she runs out to the front yard. But since this is Dawson's point of view now, we see him walking up to the argument between Pacey and Joey. Again, the scene continues a little past where we've seen it previously, and Dawson lets them know that Jen told him the truth. He yells at Joey and asks if she was ever planning on telling him. Is she bored or just malicious? Pacey comes to Joey's defense and things devolve quickly. Dawson says that Pacey was supposed to be his best friend, and Pacey says he is his best friend. Present tense. Dawson is having a little trouble processing that concept right now. Pacey swears this doesn't have anything to do with sex, and Dawson laughs. What? They're in love now? Dawson warns Pacey that when this is all over, Pacey's not going to have anyone. So this is when Andy and Will return from their date on Dawson's boat, and thanks to Dawson, Andy learns the truth about Pacey and Joey as well. So now that we've seen the day from all of their points of view, we see the episode play out normally, but we do go back and pick up from where Jen accidentally told Dawson the truth. She's super upset, and Henry isn't helping things. He doesn't want to talk about Dawson or any of her friends' drama. He just wants to hang out and basically hook up. Jen has had enough and tells him to get his horny freshman ass out of here. We then go to Andy and Will's date, and we see a bit of them bonding before they walk up on Dawson, Pacey, and Joey having their blowout. After Dawson and Joey storm inside, Andy asks Pacey if it's true. Does he really have feelings for Joey? Pacey confirms that they're together, and Andy is beyond upset. And she tells Pacey that Joey will never love him the way she loves Dawson, and how Pacey's just definitely going to get hurt throughout all of this. How can he be so stupid? In Dawson's bedroom, Dawson and Joey have a huge fight. She doesn't have any answers for him, but she says that she needs Pacey. And he asks her, do you need Pacey the way you need me? Joey says that isn't fair and that their friendship is completely different. But Dawson says that as of right now, he and Joey don't have a friendship. This ruins everything. There's no going back. She can't have the both of them. And he asks her to leave. So Jen shows up to comfort Dawson and she wants him to know that he isn't alone. And he wants to just know why she didn't tell him. She says, when two things are on a crash course for each other, you just can't throw yourself between them. She encourages Dawson to just let Pacey and Joey explore their relationship and let it run its course. But he refuses. He's determined to fight for Joey. Pacey and Joey, meanwhile, meet up at the dock where true love is. And while she wishes she could live the day all over again, she isn't sure what she would have done differently. They talk about the boat and how it looks sturdy, but Pacey says that he sees some stormy weather ahead. Pacey can tell by the look on Joey's face that it's over. Joey says it has to be. Pacey also asks Joey to leave, and she does. They're both crying, and she turns around, but he's gone. So this episode ends with everyone's relationship in shambles. And that is episode 320, The Longest Day.
The best.
The best, and just very complicated to recap, but we did it. And I love the style of the episode, the vantage points, the way they, you know, held bits of knowledge, little Easter eggs, and the way, you know, you just gained information and the way scenes just went on a little longer each time. And brilliant. Who wrote it?
This episode was written by Gina Fattori. We know her. We love her. She was most recently with us on 316 To Green With Love. And she was first with us for episode 305 Indian Summer. So if you want to hear more about her career, you can go back and listen to that episode.
Or at the end of the season, we will be dropping our interview with Gina, which we are just holding due to the spoilery nature of it. But it was super insightful, super awesome to sit and talk with her. She gave us so much of her time. She was so generous with her time. And we do delve into this episode specifically and all of season three. Her memory for season three was just so vivid and sharp. So we do have that to look forward to.
Yeah, she talked a lot about the episode and the conception of the episode, because obviously it's a completely different format than we're used to. And it was very interesting to hear how it came to be.
Super interesting. And, you know, some consider this to be the best episode of the series. I would say on a lot of the top 10 lists I've seen, this falls in like the top three pretty steadily.
Absolutely.
Well, who directed it?
It was directed by Perry Lang. He's an actor and director kind of equally. He had 48 directing credits and 55 acting credits. He was pretty much just like a straight across the plate 90s actor. He did a lot of one episode things, TV movies, a few movies. As a director, he had a hold on the WB crowd. He obviously did a lot of stuff, not just WB stuff, but he had an episode of Charmed, an episode of Gilmore Girls, A One Tree Hill, 3 Jack and Bobbies, 8 Everwoods. This is his first episode with us. And then he went on to direct one a season for the remainder of the series. So he has 4 episodes total of Dawson's Creek. And he actually went on from this episode to direct episode 103 of Young Americans. So he jumped on that Will Krudsky bandwagon and moved over to direct one of the 8 episodes of Young Americans, which is interesting.
Well, this is a good segue into Young Americans. We haven't really talked about it. So Will Krudsky, who first joined us last episode as a childhood friend of Pacey's, acquaintance of Dawson and Joey. They grew up together, but Will moved away when he was in the 3rd grade. So this was, again, the end of the season. This was April, May, and they were kind of doing like a backdoor pilot spinoff situation. Will basically is the star of a Dawson's Creek spinoff that aired in the summer of 2000 called Young Americans. It was Kate Bosworth, Ian Somerhalder, and it was amazing. I mean, I don't even know where you'd watch it now, but if you can get your hands on it or let us know. I loved Young Americans. Scout and Bella were like the big couple in it. Oh, it was so good.
I was reading an article about it because I was like, there has to be more to this story. There really isn't. It really was just them trying to do a cross promotion, trying to get eyes on their summer lineup. But They say the crux of the show is when blue collar meets blue blood. Like Will Krudsky is this blue collar kid who got a scholarship to go to this prep school, and everybody else, or a lot of the other people, are rich.
It's like a preppy private school. And as we know from last episode where he was talking about like Salinger, like he's an academic, he's a scholar. He gets this opportunity, this scholarship to go. It's a great show. It was great.
I know that I watched it, but I don't remember anything about it. Truly, I don't. So if anybody has any tips on where we can find it.
I still vividly remember the theme song, that six packs. Where would you be without a little love? You can't get by without, you know, none of that?
No. Anyway,
so Perry directed episode 3 of that.
He did, but this can roll right into my guest cast shout out, because my guest cast shout out is Rodney Scott playing Will Krudsky. I couldn't give it to him on his first episode because Julie Bowen and Sarah Lancaster were in that episode. So Rodney Scott.
What's he been up to?
He kind of went on to do the thing that a lot of actors do, which is be in everything. He was in NYPD Blue, CSI Miami, The District, Cold Case, NCIS, Close to Home, Ghost Whisperer. He was in 19 episodes of American Dreams. And the last thing he was in 2009. It was a movie called The Strip. And then he also did some video game work after that. I hope he's doing great.
I hope he's doing great. I do like him. There's like a very likable quality to him.
He has a cute little face.
Yeah, he's great.
He's in 3 episodes. This is his 2nd. So he was in last episode, he's in this episode, and he's in next episode.
Wow, I can't even picture what his 3rd one is. But I do vividly remember him being in this one. The look on Andy's face when she walks up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I don't even know where to begin for music moments. Good God.
Good God.
All of them.
It really is. I'm not even joking. Such a good music episode. This time around watching it, what one hit you the hardest?
Hit me the hardest? I don't know.
Or what's your standout? It doesn't have to be hit you the hardest.
Well, Dido's Thank You is the one that, you know, I'm still the most familiar with because I listened to Dido and I listened to the Eminem, you know, what do they call that? Sampling of it. The other ones I'd kind of forgotten about, but I knew every word and I just knew immediately from like the first chord. I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this song. But I would say Dido's Thank You was the most, because wasn't it in the preview for this episode? I can't remember.
I think you're right. That's what my original music moment, like the one that I think of, is Dido. But this time around, that last song, it's In Your Keeping by Jan Arden when Joey and Pacey are breaking up. Oh, daggers to the heart.
So good. I still remember every freaking word of it.
So good.
There was another Jan Arden song in the episode called Mend, and it's when Jen is spilling the beans accidentally, which is also amazing.
I wonder if we could get her on the pod.
Jan Arden?
Hell yeah.
What was your past versus present?
Oh man, I don't think I wrote anything down. I'm trying to think. It made me, I think the first time around I was watching it from such a place of like angst and like hyper aware of the like romantic relationships, I guess. I really felt the like Pacey and Joey of it all and wanting them to be together. And this time around, I just felt sad for everyone. Like you were saying, like every relationship is kind of blown up by the end of this episode. And I was like, wow, that's a real bummer. Nobody is happy.
Not even Jen and Henry. Everyone's just imploded. Yeah.
What about you?
I think my past versus present, like most things, I sided more with Dawson back then and I really got his hurt and betrayal. And this time you kind of see how manipulative he was in that one scene. I kind of saw him through a more negative lens, I think, this time than I did, you know, being a Team Dawson back in the day. I definitely was more on his side in this episode. But now that I'm a little more leveled out, I honestly think I'm on both teams. You know, I saw him more in a negative light.
I had that question for you, which we can talk about more when we get to the end of the episode. But the end of the episode is rough for Dawson. Old Dawson is back.
Well, they should have been honest. They've been sneaking around for weeks. Let's dive in.
Have you ever had one of those days you wish you could live all over again?
It's called every day. Okay. Every day. So we hear that line. It's a VO voiceover. And it's actually from the final scene when Pacey and Joey are breaking up. We don't know that yet. And we hear it. It's the start of Pacey's day. But they play that line at the start of everyone's day to kind of let you know that we're resetting. Mitch and Dawson have champagne.
Hey, look, here comes Dawson and his dad. That's another way that you know the day is resetting. They have that one Andy line at the top of every single day.
Yeah. Queen. Mitch looking fantastic.
I mean, never disappoints.
He could smash me with a bottle of champagne. And then Joey and Pacey. Now, I love them, but so brazen, right inside the boathouse.
Yeah.
The people are like 20 feet away and they're kissing right in front of a window.
Yeah, they are.
Pacey and Joey are going at it like a bunch of animals, which good for them.
They are. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. There's just something about new relationship energy that it's like too much. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, they're just kissing. So they haven't done anything, but
can't keep their hands off each other.
He picks her up and puts her on the desk.
Ugh.
Must be nice to be light enough to get lifted. I can't be lifted. I haven't been able to be lifted since probably May 3rd, 2000. I'm a little perturbed by how many like shark teeth are in the room. Did you notice like all of the bones?
Oh, the jaws.
There's so many jaws.
You know, I didn't clock it, but now that you say it, I can picture them. So yes, my subconscious did.
Oh my God, there's so many. But you know, whatever gets your whatever, or maybe it's the same one they show over and over again.
Could be.
Through different shots. Well, anyway, they have been sneaking around for weeks. They're trying to tell Dawson. They've tried. And Pacey's like, let me do it. I just need today. I just need one day.
He's like, I'm going to do it. This is on me. I'm going to do it. And Joey's like, great. Thanks, King.
His hair is so cute. And she's like playing with it. And it's so messy.
So cute. And you know what? I thought that about Jen, too. I thought her hair looked really good in this episode. We've talked about it before, but she took some time to like get into her groove with her look. And she's there.
She's there. And I do feel like the writers really found their footing with her this season. She's everyone's sounding board.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like is a really good role for her because, you know, she is from New York City. She's more mature. She's lived a lot of life and she's kind of like the wise sage.
Yeah, she's good with everybody else. In her own Henry storyline, it's like a little, we've talked about it, a little half-baked to me.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, she's great. Good season for her.
Good season for her.
Buzz's mom is stuck at work. She can't come pick him up. Pacey just picks him up off the ground and hands him to Dougie, which is so cute.
Yeah, we are fully in Pacey's day right now, and he needs to do something very important. So Dougie's going to watch Buzz. Only Pacey can't find Dawson anywhere because he's at the library.
Dun, dun, dun.
Jen and Pacey run into each other, and she's like, look, I talked to Joey this morning. She feels the same way. Just be honest. It's the only way.
Yeah, they run into each other outside of Jen's house as Jen is saying goodbye to Grams. Pacey's standing in the yard staring at Dawson's house like a creep. And she's like, are you going to knock on the door? And he's like, I don't need to. Like, they don't lock the door. I can just go in. I've been coming here since I'm 5 years old, just walking in. Like, he's the weight of what he needs to do is heavy on him. And that's when Mitch walks out and says, are you looking for Dawson? He's not here. He went to the library. Nice little interaction. We get a little bit of info. We know that Jen and Joey talked. We didn't see it
yet.
When this happened, did the preview for this episode show, did we know it was going to be multiple days? I remember not knowing, but I don't know if it's true.
From the preview, no, we did not know that it would be like different vantage points, different points of view. But we knew that it was going to be in one day because the voiceover says in one day, everything changes. The most extraordinary episode of Dawson's Creek ever. And then they showed the scene of Dawson walking up on Joey and Pacey when they're fighting. So we didn't know the style of the episode, but we knew that it would be the episode where everyone learns the truth.
Because I remember, this is getting ahead of myself, but I remember at the top of Act Two, after the first commercial break, when the day reset, my mind was literally blown. Now watching it, that they gave a little bit of a hint in that conversation between Pacey and Jen, because Jen says, Joey told me this morning, and that's something they never would have not shown us. So you're like, wait, what? Like, this conversation happened? And which we do eventually see later on in the episode. But like, that's your first little hint of like, we don't have all the information yet.
I just think that, you know, we're much more intelligent viewers now in 2024.
Totally. Everyone's a more savvy viewer.
Yeah, they did give us a little breadcrumb and we will see that conversation, but not yet.
Not yet. When Jen tells Pacey that Joey told Jen that she likes him, his Joshua Jackson's acting is top tier. His little like face, it's every emotion. He's excited that he has confirmation that Joey likes him, and then it turns to sadness because he's back to what he has to do in telling Dawson. It is really good.
Did you notice Joshua Jackson's hickey in this scene?
No.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a hickey.
On the lawn?
On the lawn.
Oh my God.
He's been snogging somebody.
I mean, it checks out.
I know. I was like, why didn't they cover it? But then I'm like, oh, it plays into the story. They've already acknowledged that Joey and Pacey couldn't leave their hands off of each other.
I got and gave a handful of hickeys in high school myself. And that was the last time, I think.
Really?
I remember being at DSW, my mom being like, what is on your neck? Oopsies.
I feel like I've given some, but never gotten. Well, no, that's not true. I think I had one at work once. I was super mortified. I don't think I've ever given some on people's necks.
It's a choice. I think it's something that you avoid in adulthood. But teenagers, they just do whatever.
Neck kissing is weird to me. But anyway, we're at the library. I love a library. I love a library.
I love a library too. But do you remember having to go to the library to do research? That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
That's crazy. Microfiche.
I was going to say when Joey's looking at the microfiche, I do remember going and looking at the microfiche, which was nuts.
And like having to take out books.
I remember my dad growing up was like like a really big deal in our town for like sports. Like he was like a champion and was like winning in the paper a lot. And I remember when we were little, he used to take us to the library and we used to like look at the old microfiche of him being like in the paper.
That's so cute.
But looking back at it, I'm like, how did he know like what month, like date? And like, I don't understand how microfiche works. But like, how did he know how to find it? It just feels so overwhelming now. Like you're just looking for a newspaper clipping.
And to not, yeah, to not be able to like search by like keyword or whatever.
Yeah, like your name. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's a whole new world. We've seen a lot of changes. We're basically pioneers.
That's wild. So PC can't find Dawson, but he runs into Andy and Will. And then he goes back to Doug's place and Doug is just like, you need to tell Dawson. Kissing Joey is one thing. Carrying on a relationship is another. And you're going to get hurt throughout all this because those two have a connection and they're always going to find their way back to each other. And you're going to be the one left out in the cold.
And a big piece that we get in this scene is that Buzz ruined the answering machine, which will come back later in the episode. It's nice. I've talked a lot about it, how this Doug Pacey dynamic, he's the perfect sounding board for Pacey in this season because he can't really talk to any of his other friends. Jen, a little bit here and there, but they're not close enough for him to like go to her house and talk the way that he is in this moment with Dougie. It's really cute. Also, do you still hate the big window behind Doug's bed? I love it.
I just don't think it's reasonable to put in a bedroom. Like, where's the shade? Where's the curtains? Too much light.
Look. It's aesthetic.
So the answering machine thing I find weird because what came of that?
So Joey calls Pacey and says, Pacey, don't tell Dawson. I need to tell Dawson, whatever, whatever.
Right.
So then Pacey doesn't get the message, goes to Dawson's and is about to knock on the door when Joey comes down and finds Pacey and says, no, don't tell him. It needs to come from me. They have the argument in the yard and then Dawson hears them and comes down. So if Pacey had gotten Joey's message, he wouldn't have gone to Dawson's house and Dawson would not have caught them having the argument in the yard.
But we know now that Dawson already knew. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Him catching them.
I guess it just that the conflict wouldn't have happened in this day.
The three of them being together. Yeah.
Like maybe he would have said something to Joey, but it seems like he himself, Dawson, was like waiting and holding and seeing how he wanted to handle it when he let her walk out the window. But then when he heard Pacey and Joey talking in the yard, he was like, well, here I come to blow up your dreams.
Pacey shows up at Dawson's that night to tell him. Joey comes running around the side of the house, pulls him away, saying, I have to be one of them to do it. I have to be the one to do it. And Pacey can tell from her demeanor that she's like having a lot of second thoughts and doubts, and she has cold feet. We don't know that she just came from this scene with Dawson where he's like, I'm watching a movie where three friends are in a love triangle and two friends betrayed the third and everyone ends up miserable. So she's coming from that and she's very upset and they get into a little spat over her getting cold feet. And then Dawson comes out. We don't know that Dawson knows the truth, but he does.
Yeah.
What an episode. Makes my head hurt thinking about writing it.
Totally. And then we end the act with Pacey saying, us, Dawson. We're talking about us. There's an us here. And that's when it was like,
Dawson knows.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
But top of act two, commercial break, new act, day starts over.
Do you ever have one of those days you wish you could live all over again? Mitch and Dawson, champagne.
Hey, here comes Dawson and his dad really driving it home.
It's incredible.
It was a mind blower. It was a mind blower for me. Mind blown.
I never heard the term mind blower before, but it was a mind blower.
It was. I also love that there's a closed for the season sign on whatever this business is that they walk by. It's very real to me.
Jack is wearing some weird jersey cutoff situation.
Jack is barely in this episode.
I like that it was the core four.
I love that he's in it. Like, I love that they weren't. I feel like sometimes shows are like, if we're not going to use him, we shouldn't have him in the episode. I love that he was in the episode, even though he didn't have a big part.
I felt that way about Grams and Mitch, too. I'm like, they're totally not needed, but.
Totally.
Okay, I got like chills when Joey walks up. There's something about it, like her and Pacey coming from different sections of the boathouse. Like she's pretending like she's just walking up for the first time. There's just something so...
I know.
I don't know. She's just knowing that Joey's pretending and acting in that scene. There's something about her walking up. I'm just like, I rewound it like 10 times.
Would you call it new relationship energy?
She's just being so naughty. You know what I mean? Like she's...
Yeah.
I'm pretending, and she looks uncomfortable, and it's almost like Jen picks up on it. Oh, it's just so good.
So good. They walk home together, or they walk together. Are they going to the library? I lost track.
Yeah, they are going to the library.
Jen's just a little, like a priest almost. Everyone's coming to confess their sins to the priest.
Yeah, well, Joey's like, you know, a few weeks ago, you checked in with me about my feelings for Pacey. There's been some developments. I want to be with him. And she's just like, if you're asking me if you have to tell Dawson, the answer is yes.
The answer is definitely yes. A resounding yes. Basically, go tell him as soon as possible. Also, that scene where they have that conversation is shot at magic hour and they both look amazing.
Amazing. Even though it's supposed to be morning.
Oopsies.
Although the sun would be rising, right? Here, the tracks. This is very important. Joey says to Jen, Pacey's going to do it today, which is very important information for Jen to have because she later spills the beans to Dawson when he looks sad because she assumes that Pacey's already done it.
Another little breadcrumb. Joey at the library sees Pacey and Andy. They're both doing a lot of that body acting that we love because she can't hear what they're saying. But you can tell that Andy is flirting with Pacey.
And Joey just has this look on her face like Andy is another.
Yep.
Like we didn't even consider Andy. She's going to be pissed.
Andy approaches her while she's looking at the microfiche.
On Nixon. Joey's doing a report on Nixon.
Look, she's got a project on Watergate. Andy comes up, tells Joey that she's going on a date with Will. And he's cute and he's nice, but he's not Pacey. And she has a whole spiral moment about how she still loves Pacey. Yikes.
Andy has a side pony and I'm just living for it. It's not even a full pony. It's like actually just like a strand, but she's a fashion icon.
She's gotten it back together. She was not a fashion icon at the top of this season.
And Joey's hair is doing that thing where like the front of it is tucked down and the back of it's like coming over it. I don't know if there's a word for that.
Like layers.
But what we're trying to say is whoever did the hair for this episode.
Emmys.
I don't know if it's the person that does it every week, but they were really killing it.
They were. Joey comes barreling out of the library. She's thrown off of her game.
She has a Diet Coke.
She has a Diet Coke. She has her red backpack. She runs into Dawson almost literally. And he's like, hey, Joe, do you want to watch a movie later? And she's like, I can't. I have to. And he's like, go. And she's like, yes, I have to go. Did you notice in that scene when they're talking in the foreground, there is like a little plaque?
Yeah. What did it say?
It says, on the west side of the river, a little south of the causeway, was Beery's Shipyard, where the Confederate ironclad North Carolina was built in 1862 for the protection of the port.
This is Capeside, sir.
It turns out Capeside has some North Carolina
history. How fun. Well, this is when Joey places the call to Doug's answering machine, which will be broken by Buzz. And she's saying, don't tell him. I'm going to tell him. Then she does her classic Joey Potter run down the dock. She does her classic Joey Potter climb up the ladder. And what is Dawson doing? He's watching The Last Picture Show.
Which this is something that I brought up when we talked with Gina. What are the odds and who made the connection? The Last Picture Show. This is the movie that Dawson and Joey saw on their first date. And the fact that it aligns with the story of this episode enough to have that be like this strong callback, I think this is incredible. I think it's incredible.
It's genius.
It really is.
Peak Dawson's Creek. That's why we're obsessed with it.
Ugh, God, so good.
That's why this show defined our lives and why we're here right now, 24 years later. Also, did you notice what's in Dawson's room now?
The painting.
The hideous painting that Aunt Gwen gave them.
Classic Gwen.
It's so weird.
Wait, though, actually, now that you say it.
What?
If you look at around 17 minutes and 20 seconds ish.
Yeah.
1720.
Is it the phone call scene?
No, it's the scene where Joey walks in through the window. There's a painting of Dawson and Joey on the wall. It is not the correct painting.
What do you mean?
Take a look, sir.
I'm looking at it. What do you mean? That's them as kids, isn't it?
Okay, so you see that painting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just wait there 1 second. I'm going to send you something.
Do I have to go back to...
This is not at all the same picture.
Are you sending it to me?
I'm showing you.
Oh my God, it's not.
Not at all.
Oh my God. And it's not the same picture. Wait, how did you notice that? You're just that observant?
Yeah, I just knew what the picture looked like.
Why would they do that?
It's not burned into your brain like it is mine.
That is not even close to being the same picture.
No.
Well, this picture looks like...
No, it's not.
They are in like a Dia de los Muertos celebration or something. It looks like their background in... Coco.
But they should have the picture. This episode came after that episode. They were shooting in order. I wonder what happened.
Well, we didn't ask Gina, so we'll never know.
Can we call her up? Gina, what's the deal with the painting, babe?
We need to get Setek on the line immediately. So Dawson is manipulating Joey here. We don't know that yet because we don't know that Dawson knows the truth, but he's like, this movie is about three friends, Jeff Bridges, Sybil Shepherd. They're in love. She dumps him for his best friend. Everyone hates each other.
Yeah, it ends. Everyone hates each other. It's kind of depressing.
He's laying it on very thick. That's when she goes out. She tells Pacey we can't do this. Dawson comes out again. Not again, but we see it again. And Pacey says, us, it's about us. And Joey's like, you know. And Dawson's like, I know. And then we go to the next act.
This is when, at the end of the last act, perspectives got a little bit off because Joey goes down and then we cut back into Dawson's room and observe Dawson hearing Joey and Pacey, which is like, yeah, not a huge deal.
It's not a huge deal. It also, at the beginning of the act, Dawson and Jen have a scene about borrowing a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I thought initially it was Dawson's day, but it's actually Joey's day. So there are little, it's not, you know, 100% perfect, but you follow Joey for most of the day.
Yes. And the same is true for Act 3 with Dawson, because it starts, not starts, but at the top, you're with Pacey and Joey making out. And then like, there's just like little bits where you're kind of spread across everybody.
And that is when you see the full boathouse and the doors open and it's a huge door. And Pacey and Joey were just making out in front of everybody. Not a big deal.
Brazen, as you said.
The hormones.
Out of control.
And Pacey christens the boat. We finally see it.
Buzz's reaction to him smashing the champagne is very adorable.
I know. I love Buzz.
Will comes up to Dawson and is like, what did you and Joey do on your first date? And Dawson's like, what? He's like, I don't know, like, I'm going on a date and I don't know what to do. What are you talking about, Will? You little freak.
Dawson says, don't go to the movies. You can't even talk.
He says, go on the creek, man. The night, the quiet. He's like, where would I get a boat? He's like, my house. You know where it is.
Take my boat out.
Somebody take it. Which obviously is perfect for the episode because then it means that both Will and Andy are at Dawson's house at the time of the blow-up confrontation.
Yeah, I love Andy being involved in it. I actually wish Andy had a bigger... I wish Andy had her own day. But I do see the need to keep the focus on the triangle and the three original cast members. But, you know, Andy would have a big reaction to this too, you know?
I'm with you.
Joey's probably her best friend, I think. And as we know, she loves Pacey.
As she just told us.
One of my favorite scenes of the whole episode is when Jen spills the beans.
Oof, it's great. Henry's being a little perv. Jen is standing strong, not letting him into the house. Graham said he's not allowed in the house while she's out of town. And Henry's like, but what if I have to go to the bathroom? What if I have to use the telephone? What if you're choking and I have to call 911? Through all of those questions, she's like, no, you're not allowed in the house. And then she sees Dawson walking up and she's like, get in the house. She just opens the door and lets him in.
And she assumes that he's there because Pacey's told him the truth. And Jen is just so good. She's come such a long way.
And when Jen realizes that he doesn't know.
Her face
acting is great. She's like, uh-oh. And Dawson goes from pretty chill to very mad quickly. Like he tightens up big time and he's asking her a lot of questions and she's kind of not answering them, skirting them. And he says, the fact that you're unwilling to answer my questions speaks volumes.
The reason Jen thought she could say something is because Dawson makes a comment about like, I think I'm going to rent a movie and relive better days. And then that's when she's like, oh, they told them. So it's not completely unprompted, you know, that she really did think that. He knew, but he didn't. And now he does. And the song is amazing.
And Jen's desperate. She's like, what can I do? What can I say? And he's like, nothing. Do the same thing you did for them. Say nothing.
I think I'm just also starting to realize, like, I think I'm a Jen Dawson fan because I usually just think of them in season one, you know, and they do have little moments throughout the whole series where I'm just like, I think I like those two together. But anyway, I digress.
Very interesting.
The little blonde-haired cuteness.
Well, then we cut in to Dawson's room and he's watching the movie. But this time we know that he knows. And the context of that in this scene makes watching the scene a 180.
Diabolical.
Insane.
Props to James Vanderbeek, too, for like playing it so nuanced that just the, because it is brilliant writing, but it's also his acting. In Joey's day, he seems oblivious and you think, poor guy. And then in his day, you think, wow, he's, you know, like I said, diabolical.
It makes me think of, I can't remember if it was an acting class or an editing class that I took in college, but they talk about that, like the device of if you show a picture of somebody and then you show a sandwich, the audience will interpret that they're hungry. And if you show a picture of somebody, like footage of somebody, and then you show a gravesite, you'll think that they're sad. Like it's like just the context of how you're seeing somebody. And I think it was like, I think it was an acting class. And I'm pretty sure the lesson was like, do less because you don't have to overdo it. Like it should be nuanced. And man, he nails it.
Yeah.
He nails it.
Yeah. James Vanderbeek had a really tough script to pull off and he did it brilliantly.
And that's not usually Dawson's forte. I feel like he generally wears his emotions on his sleeve.
Yeah, he's really emotional. He's not really strategic like that. And this is when we see like the full fight between the three of them. And he's livid. He's like, are you bored? Are you malicious? Pacey steps in, you know, like, be angry at me. Dawson says, I thought we were friends. And Pacey says, we are friends, present tense. And Dawson's just like, I can't wrap my head around that. Basically, he says, like, how is your relationship with her different from mine? Like, what, I don't have sex with you or something like that? And then Pacey says, it's not about sex. And Dawson's like, what is it, love? Give me a break.
Give me a break. Yeah, he says, are you bored? Are you confused? Or are you just malicious?
She's confused, to be fair. She is one of those things.
She is. One thing we didn't touch on real quick when we were still in Dawson's room, when Joey leaves, we now stay a bit, like a beat longer and see his reaction to her leaving. I thought that was a really nice bit of acting.
And he's just like devastated, basically.
Devastated. Man, this is a good episode.
And Katie Holmes' face when she realizes that Dawson knows is also great. And also more props to the hair department. Like Dawson's hair in this fight scene is really like unkept. it drives the fact home that he's had a horrible day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do.
Like I could imagine him like wringing his hair, like his head in his hair is all day just toiling over this. I feel like James Vanderbeek's face gets like progressively redder during this scene.
Yeah.
Like he's just getting really angry. And I love that. And while Dawson is angry, I think there's like a maturity to his anger or something. It's not as petulant, I feel.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
You feel like he's...
I feel like he is so... He's throwing a fit.
But I mean, what would you do?
Jumping to the end of the episode, how he speaks to Joey, I know that he's speaking from a place of like hurt and anger. But I'm like, he wants her back. And he is really being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like he's acting like a child.
I think I'm talking more about like James Vanderbeek's acting.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
It feels like leveled up. It doesn't feel as...
whiny?
Yeah, like it feels like it's like a more layered anger, like there's a betrayal to it versus
yeah,
not like so temper tantrum-y.
I see.
It feels like there's been an evolution a little bit.
But it's not that like grating. Dawson used to have this really grating quality to his anger when he would be like, Joey, and now he's still doing that and he's still angry and he's still an asshole. But I do see what you're saying. It's a little more.
I'm talking specifically about the scene outside. I do think in the bedroom, it is a little bit more of that. Like, you're mine. Meh.
Yeah.
Outside, there's like a level to it that I think is a little more layered.
Yeah.
But do you think their fight in the end, when he's saying like, you're mine, choose me, whatever. You think he's saying that more in a romantic way, like ownership misogynistic-y, or do you think he's saying it as like a friend in a friend way?
I think that he's saying it as a whole. And I think that's why it bothers me so much. It's like, it's not if you go through with this, like you and I are off the table, like romantically. It's like, if you go through with this, we're done forever in any capacity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's friend. I think he's, the way that she interprets it is she has to choose one or the other for life.
Yeah.
Like she's walking away from this conversation thinking that she can only have Dawson or she can only have Pacey in any regard, I think.
I just don't know where we go from here. Where do we go from here? I wonder what we were thinking about in 2000. Like, oh God, how will we move on? Well, anyway, in the next act, the date isn't fully reset, but we see what happens to Jen after Dawson leaves, after she's accidentally told him the truth. And Henry just wants to hook up and he's all over her and she's really upset and he doesn't really want to hear about her and her drama. He wants to be frisky. And she says, I've had it with you and your horny freshman ass.
I've got issues.
I mean, I kind of get Henry's point. They always have drama.
It's like, look, I get it. Can't be everything to everybody.
No, I'm sorry. We can't agree with Henry. The people get mad. Henry sucks. I mean, he really is all over her and she's very visibly upset. Stupid Henry.
Yeah, I could leave him in this episode. I could take him or leave him. No. I could leave him.
You know who else leaves him? Jen. Because their relationship's also in tatters by the end. We don't know where it's headed.
Everybody's in tatters. Oh, by the way, then we cut to Will and Andy on a rowboat. Since when does Dawson own a rowboat?
That is such a good point.
Okay.
Maybe they have like multiple boats and they have a rowboat and a few motorboats.
You know, they're just oozing money. Mitch is a football coach and Gail's starting up a restaurant.
I don't even know what Will and Andy talk about, like mythology.
Who knows? And honestly, who cares?
Who knows? Who cares? All we care about is Andy's reaction to the truth coming out. And she's like, how could you be so stupid? You know, Joey's going to choose Dawson every time. What are you doing? This is where Andy and Dawson should have gotten together. My dream couple. Andy, Meredith Monroe does like, and Will Krutsky both do a really good job of just like looking uncomfortable during this scene. And it's brilliant.
So good.
Andy and Will just being like super awkward during the scene. It's so real and so good. I mean, Meredith Monroe looks physically just so uncomfortable. She's like fidgeting with her hands.
It is so good. I wrote that down. Her and Joshua Jackson's body acting in this scene, like they have that, like he's actually fairly still in the scene, but his face acting and his crying and his like everything. It's, they're both very convincingly emotional.
Yeah. And she says the same thing, basically, that now Doug and Dawson have said to him, which is, what are you doing? You're going to end up alone. And we know that Pacey has a lot of issues with like feeling like a failure and letting his dad down and all these things. And it's kind of a little bit of that sentiment. Like, what are you doing? You screwed up again. You're such a F up. Look what you've done now, you little jerk, to quote Home Alone. You know,
she says, God, how could you be so stupid, Pacey?
Yeah, which is now the third time he's hearing this. So he's having a bad day.
He's not having a good day.
He's not having a good day. And then Dawson and Joey have their fight. And he's like, why are you doing this? Are you punishing me? And she says, no, I need him. And he's like, do you need him the way you need me? Which is a weird thing to say, because I don't know. When did she ever say that she needs him? Maybe she has.
I wrote that down too. Do you need him like you need me? What? And then she's like talking about their friendship. And he says, we don't have a friendship. You can't have him as your boyfriend and me as your consolation prize. This ruins everything and there's no going back. He's saying it all. He's laying it all out there. He's
mentioning it all. And everyone just stepped up their game acting-wise. Like James Vanderbeek is killing it. Katie Holmes is killing it. There's a reason this is probably the best episode of the series, people.
The one quote I wrote down that cracked me up is when Joey comes into the room. She's like, that's not what I wanted. And Dawson says, what you intended does not provide me any solace. Okay, Dawson.
Someone's got the thesaurus.
Yeah, you're right. Everybody is bringing their A game. The writing is great. The directing is great. The acting is great. Everything is so good.
We're living. It's peak.
Peak Creek.
Peak Creek. Oh my God. peak life. Is this where we all peaked?
All downhill from here.
I had just turned 16. I just turned 17.
You were driving.
I was driving.
What a time. This is a wild fight. It's a wild fight. Everything is different. You said it at the top of the episode, but we leave everyone in shambles. And like this fight leaves no question about that. He's like, hey, I hate you. I hate you. I hate Pacey. Good luck, basically.
I know we're supposed to hate Dawson, but I mean, imagine if your best friend was secretly hooking up with your on again, off again. I wouldn't be happy.
It would suck. It would really suck.
Yeah.
So I know we touched on it pretty in depth during your past versus present, but like, where was your head at? Where was Micah's year 2000 head at here?
Oh, I think I was fully on Dawson's side. And I think I was like fully rooting for them to break up in the final scene. Like fully. I was fully Team Dawson at this point.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I relate to him on so many levels, like the writer, the filmmaker, this being in a small town, you know, like all of that. And I was just imagining if this was happening to me, and I would have been like so devastated and sad.
Yeah.
But now I'm watching it a little more voyeuristically, just like for entertainment purposes. I'm like more spectator. I don't know why I was like putting him in my shoes so much at this age, but
I don't know.
I mean, I think he's entitled to his feelings. And I think that's what's so brilliant about this situation is like you're rooting for Pacey and Joey, but you could still admit that they really messed up by sneaking around and not telling him. Like no one's hands are clean in this.
No.
Which is great. Like even Jen screwed up, you know, like she didn't mean to, but
yeah,
like everyone's just making like really human mistakes and no one's perfect.
But no one's completely in the wrong either. Like nobody's right. Nobody's wrong.
No. Yeah.
Everybody's mad.
It's really layered. It's so complex.
Except Will Krutsky. And that's why he's got to get out of town. He's got to go back to school.
Oh, Will Krutsky.
Jen comes in, penultimate scene. She is saying, hell of a day, huh? And Dawson's like, I'm alone. I got to get used to it. And she's like, you're not alone. Everything's fine. And he says, I can't let her go. Jen says, what are you going to do? What else is there to do? And he says, I can fight. I have to fight for her. Which, like, I guess that's kind of, I mean, you can't fault someone for reacting emotionally in the moment, I guess. But I'm like, if you knew that you wanted to fight for her, why were you so rude to her? I don't know.
Well, that's another big takeaway from this episode that we should touch on is that Dawson's motivation moving forward will be to like fully win Joey back. He's been struggling with the kind of last few episodes all season. You know, should I stay away from her? Can we be friends? Are we more than that? What are we? They talked about it on which island. You know, now he's fully in the mindset. Joey is what I want. He's been on this journey to find himself and like Aunt Gwen's, and he's realized, you know, I went on this journey to find myself and I found that the person I was then is the person who I am and I'm meant to be. And like Joey's a big part of that. So he's been on the trajectory, but now this has solidified that he wants to be with Joey.
Yeah.
So moving into the last three episodes of the season, Dawson will be very motivated to win her back.
And Joey's takeaway, unfortunately, for me, for 15-year-old me, unfortunately, was not leaning into Pacey in this moment for comfort. It was, I can't do this because look at what's happening. Like, look around us.
Yeah.
And she walks away.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically playing it like this is an affair storyline. You know, she's cheated on Dawson with Pacey. That's pretty much how it's being
portrayed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fallout of it. It's like she's committing this horrible act. And we knew it would be on her mind that she doesn't want to be the villain in this. She mentioned that to Jen. Dawson mentioned it and like talking about the last picture show. Like she ruins both of their lives. She ruins all of their lives, the woman in the movie. And this is her way of releasing her of that. She's gonna drop both of them, I guess. She's dropping him. So
I think she's lost. She doesn't know what the right thing is to do. And she doesn't want to hurt Pacey and she doesn't want to hurt Dawson. So I feel like she's trying to remove herself from the situation when she is the situation. Like there's no getting away from it. But
she thinks she's in the wrong and she blew up all of their lives. He thinks that he's in the wrong and he blew up all of their lives. They're both feeling guilty and responsible and
it's sad.
He says, it's over, isn't it? And she says, it has to be.
And they're both crying. And then he's gone. And we leave her standing alone on the pier. Whew.
What an episode.
Gosh, such a good one. Peak Creek, baby.
Peak Creek. And the music is so good. And everything is so good. And we have three episodes left of the season. So buckle up.
And they're big ones.
Yeah, they're intense and we're cruising now.
What you watching?
In anticipation of Christmas, I have been watching bad Christmas movies and I watched Hot Frosty.
I like that you specified bad Christmas movies.
Well, like I love a bad Christmas movie, you know, and sometimes they're so bad they're good, like Falling for Christmas with Lindsay Lohan on Netflix when she falls and gets amnesia.
Oh my gosh, actually, I did watch that last year.
It's basically Overboard with Goldie Hawn, but with Lindsay Lohan and not as because, you know, good. But anyway, Hot Frosty, it didn't bring me joy. It wasn't like so bad it was good for me. I know some people who did think it was so bad it's good. Also, I just didn't think Hot Frosty was hot.
That's an issue.
This is a big issue for me. He looked not hot. I mean, I'm just gonna leave it there.
Mediocre at best.
And, you know, Lacey, I just wanted more. Lacey Chabert, Gretchen Wieners.
Sure, sure, sure.
I don't think my father, the inventor of toaster strudel, would be too happy to hear about this. Gretchen Wieners. I just wanted more, you know?
I do know. I can't wait to dive in. I feel like now that Thanksgiving is right around the corner. We watched Elf. That's all we've watched so far. Time to ramp it up.
So you do Christmas movies just Thanksgiving time just to get in the...
I have a list of movies that I must watch every season. And then I try to watch a new couple every year.
And then what's on that list?
Elf, Home Alone, Home Alone 2, The Santa Claus, Love Actually, Family Stone. Muppets Christmas Carol.
Oh, wow.
That's everything that's on the must watch. Oh, and Christmas Vacation.
Oh, we usually do Christmas Vacation and Home Alone on Christmas Day, like with my nieces nice. And stuff. Family Stone is one of my favorite movies of all time, not just Christmas movies, so like good. Of all time. I had to skip it last year because it was like hitting too close to home because I was like living the movie last year. But I remember I watched it. I think I told the story before. I watched it once on a plane. It was definitely in pandemic times because I remember I had a mask on and it was like a mandated mask. And I was sobbing so hard from the second the gay son and his husband like pull into the driveway in the beginning.
Oh, the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Like the first few minutes is like Sarah Jessica Parker at like Saks. They're shopping or whatever. But then after the credits when they pull in, and I wasn't even sad. It just makes me feel like happy just seeing a family like that and just like knowing what's coming. And then I remember the guy next to me, because I was on the aisle, obviously I'm a bigger person, I need the aisle, and the guy finally like mid movie was like, can I go to the bathroom? So I got up to let him go and he was just like you're really feeling it, huh, or something like that. And I was like, just leave me alone. But I was like, he saw me crying like with my mask on, like, I mean, I guess I wasn't hiding it or anything, but I probably cried for like a good hour. But it makes me laugh. I don't think it's all sad. I just love their family.
No, it's a wonderful movie. It's seriously so good. And it's based around Christmas. You could watch it at Christmas. You don't have to. I love that.
You know what? I went through a time where I was obsessed with like big family movies, like Cheaper by the Dozen.
Love.
Little Miss Sunshine. Just like when it had a lot of different family dynamics, like aunts and uncles and grandparents. I love those kinds of movies. I have added Falling for Christmas to my list of Christmas movies though.
Really?
Yeah. It's just silly and like you just kind of put it on while you clean or decorate or whatever.
So every year I buy a new Christmas movie too to like own in my digital library or whatever. And this year I bought Look Who's Talking Now. Have I already talked about this on the podcast?
No.
So Look Who's Talking 2 is when they have the second kid. Look Who's Talking Now is with the dogs.
The dogs. Rox and Daphne?
Daphne, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember Look Who's Talking Now. It was, I mean, a classic.
A classic, and it takes place at Christmas.
At Christmas, yeah, because they watch Santa at the end on the radar.
They do.
I love Look Who's Talking franchise.
Same. It's so good. And it held up. We watched it. So I should say that. We didn't start with Elf. We started with that. I can't wait to dive into Christmas.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I'm not an Elf person.
No?
No. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't get into it.
You can always be honest here. I love it.
I've seen it. I watch it probably every 3 years, maybe. But like some of it's funny. I just think a little bit goes a long way and it gets like so, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
For me, it scratches the same itch as the Santa Claus, that whimsical.
Yeah. Fantasy,
you have
fun.
To believe in the Christmas spirit. You know, yeah. I love it.
Did you say Love Actually?
Yes. That's on my list.
Yeah. We're going to love it.
I freaking love it.
Do you watch like on Thanksgiving week, do you watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Like the only that and like what is that Ed O'Neill movie where he has to pick up his stepson?
No.
I think it's Dutch and his son is the stepson's Ethan Embry. You've never seen that?
No, I've never seen either of them.
Those are the only two Thanksgiving movies I could think of. Well, what are you watching?
I watched Twisters last weekend.
I'm sorry.
It was fine. I do love Twister.
Love Twister.
Yeah.
Love a Bill Pullman, Helen Hunt. Bill Pullman? Bill Paxton.
Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Which one's dead?
I don't know. I've never been able to tell them apart.
I think it's Bill Paxton, and I think he's dead. And I think Bill Pullman is the one in Independence Day, and I think he's alive.
Right, right.
I couldn't be sure, though.
I couldn't be
Gun
sure.
Gun to my head. I don't know.
Well, I love both.
Yeah, love a Bill.
Love a Bill. Twisters, though, as much as I love Glenn Powell.
Yeah, it didn't do what I wanted it to do.
It didn't do what I wanted it to do. But you know who I love? The girl's mom in that.
Yeah, from The Affair.
Yeah, in ER.
Maura Tierney.
Maura Tierney. Something so watchable about her.
There is.
You know what, though? That hot guy in Twister is going to be the new Superman.
Yes, I was reading that because I was like, this guy looks really familiar to me. And then I Googled it and I don't think I've ever seen him before, but I was like, oh yeah, he looks like Superman.
Yeah, he looks like Henry Cavill, who I think was Superman. He was on the set of Twisters when he found out. Did you see that video?
No.
It's a really cute video. Well, that's all I got. I don't know. I mean, I'm in a slump with my shows. I need some new stuff.
All right. Well, that's it.
What should we have as our Dawson's drink for episode 321?
For episode 321, Show Me Love, we will be drinking the Regatta cocktail. You will need champagne, herbal liqueur, triple sec, vodka, and lemon juice. I'm very intrigued, to be honest.
That does sound good.
It does. I think it's going to be great. All right, that's it. We'll be back next week.
Well, that is one of the best episodes of Dawson's Creek.
We're barreling into Thanksgiving this week.
Yes, and usually we take Thanksgiving off, but we are not because, I mean, this is too good of an era. No skips.
How could we hold back the longest day?
Uh-uh.
For a full week. No, ma'am.
That would make it the longest week.
All right. Well, I hope everyone has a fantastic Thanksgiving. I hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you guys next week with 321 Show Me Love.
Show Me Love.
A regatta.
Well, thanks. I'm grateful for you all. I'm thankful.
I am blessed.
Too blessed to be stressed. It's just not true. I'm always stressed.
Literally never been more stressed. We'll talk
always
to you guys.
Always stressed, never blessed.
You can okay, be bye. Both. Blessed bye. And stressed. Bye!
Bye! Bye!